This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Standing by for analysis of last night's NFL draft. He covered the NFL and the draft for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. You also hear him as part of the Daily Football Podcast, the Pick Six Podcast. Joining us this morning on the show is our friend Ryan Wilson. Ryan, good morning.
DA, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us bright and early morning after the draft. We begin at number three. So, why do you think the Niners played the smokescreen so well for the last month?
It was crazy how well they smokescreened. And at the end of the day, here's the takeaway. And I've been saying this to my buddies who follow the league from the outside looking in. I said, here's what you have to understand. The media in general don't have no idea what's going on, because at the end of the day, there's no advantage for teams like San Francisco at three to sort of tip their hand. But I was convinced that it was going to be Mac Jones a few days ago when Shanahan did that final press conference where he talked about the end of the world on Sunday. We all might not be here. But he also sort of tried to prepare his fan base that, okay, just trust me, I know what I'm doing. And that sort of lent credence to the idea that he was going with the unpopular pick, at least in the eyes of 49ers fans, that it was going to be Mac Jones. But then, as you mentioned, the old switcheroo came, at least that was perception by media and fans, and Trey Lance was the pick. And yeah, I love the moxie, if you will, for San Francisco doing this, because when I was talking to people throughout the whole process, the takeaway was the comeback would always be, this is Mac Jones is the evolution, not the evolution, it's the quarterback that we know that Kyle Shanahan can win with, because he's done it throughout his career. And obviously Matt Ryan is the obvious example there when they should have won that Super Bowl in Atlanta together. But one of the guys I was talking to in the league said exactly that. And then he added a but. He says, but if Kyle Shanahan wants to continue with the evolution of the quarterback as we've seen it the last 3 or 4 or 5 years with the Josh Allens and the Kyler Murrays and the Lamar Jacksons, maybe he does go for a quote-unquote upgrade, like in terms of athleticism and arm strength and processing and all the other things that these quarterbacks that feel like they're made in a laboratory are doing. And the only issue with Trey Lance, he hasn't played a ton of football. And you could say, well, neither is Mac Jones. But Mac Jones has played when he starts 17 against guys that we knew were going to be playing in the NFL. We don't know that about Trey Lance. So this is going to be a fun experiment to watch. We're going to see arguably the best play caller in the league, Kyle Shanahan. You could say, well, maybe Sean McVay, Andy Reid. Now taking a piece of clay, maybe the most athletic piece of clay we've ever seen, and making it into his own. So this is going to be fun, but it was shocking that Mac Jones wasn't the guy after what we heard over the last 3 weeks or so.
If the Patriots didn't select Mac Jones at number 15, would he have been selected in the first round?
That's a great question. I don't know if he was going to get past the Patriots. I do know they were thinking about trading up, and they were pretty nervous when the Bears moved to 11. But if he gets past 15, the wildest of wild cards would have been the Raiders at 17, because no one knows what they're doing, and their pick in the first round confirmed as much. Maybe Washington considers it. I don't know if the Steelers do, or even the Saints. Those would have been the most likely landing spots unless the team traded back up in the first round. But, you know, here's the thing, DA. We thought it was going to be Mac Jones at three, or at least I did for the longest time. And now I wonder if this is San Francisco is a great fit for any quarterback, but I do wonder if the Patriots and Mac Jones, one of these conversations we have in 5 or 6 years about, well, how do we let that happen? Like, this is, feels sort of similar to what we saw, you know, so a lesser degree perhaps of what we saw with Tom Brady for two decades.
Well, Tom Brady is a sixth-round pick. That's the entire league whiffed on him for six rounds. This is
right.
Only... this is number 15 overall. Here's Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. And I was wondering about the Bears because it's become a cottage industry to crush Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and their quarterback decision-making and the Bears constantly flailing to get a QB. And last night they were widely lauded for being aggressive and going to get Justin Fields at number 11. Did you think that was a smart and savvy move by the Bears?
Yeah, so I love it. I love it on the surface. I love it for my long-tortured Bears friends who now have something to cling on to besides a tweet from the organization that said, you know, 6 weeks ago that Andy Dalton's our QB1, because that's, you know, that's not how you get the fan base excited. Here's my only concern, D.A. So you're taking Justin Fields, and you mentioned Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have been up against it for a while. And let's be honest, if they start slow, there's going to be some conversations early in the year about those guys getting fired. And that's the reality of it. Mr. Trubisky didn't work out. And so Andy Dalton makes sense to start the season. He's not the long-term solution. But what if we're two games into this thing in 2021 and the Bears are bearsing it up and Andy Dalton looks terrible? Are you just going to throw Justin Fields out there before he's ready in week three and sort of have a repeat of the Mr. Trubisky situation? I'm not saying Justin Fields is Mr. Trubisky. I think he has a chance to be really, really good. I just hope that he's not rushing to the field as a means of two guys trying to save their jobs. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they're in a bad situation in that they have to win now. Does Justin Fields buy them a little more time? Maybe. It's not going to buy them an extra year, I feel like. Maybe buy them a few extra weeks, in which case that brings you back to my original point. Are they going to try to get him out there sooner rather than later? What is not necessarily in the best interest of the organization.
A lot of people said that the Raiders, as you alluded to with Alex Leatherwood at number 17, were the big losers last night, a confusing decision. Did you also think that?
Confusing is the best way to put it. And on some level, this feels like the Cleveland Farrell pick a few years ago when Mike Mayock just got there as the GM, and of course John Gruden was the coach, because he felt overdrafted. And to this point, Cleveland Farrell's a first-round talent who was overdrafted inside the top five. Alex Leatherwood, I had a day two grade on him, and I talked to folks around the league that agreed with that. But look, we say this all the time about quarterbacks. It only takes one team. They need help with the offensive line because a bunch of crazy things that John Gruden did over the course of the offseason. That said, they literally could have picked anyone on defense and made that defense better. And here's how I come out of the first round. You look at the pick, you say, okay, is this team better now than they were before Thursday? And the Raiders are not. They're not. They drafted Alex Leatherwood, who can help, but it's not a substantial upgrade, which is what you need in these first-round picks. So puzzling is where I would put this.
I would say puzzling would describe both the Steelers and the Jaguars' decisions to take running backs in the first round as well. Both Najee Harris and Travis Etienne might end up being very good backs, but the Steelers had a lot of needs, especially an offensive line, and the Jaguars are the worst team in football. Out of those two, did either Najee or Etienne make sense in your mind?
Yeah, so the Najee Harris move I got, and they didn't signal, but it had been pretty clear for a while that they liked Najee, and that could be a possibility. They're 24. There was some conversation that maybe the Jets, had they been at 18, would have thought about that as well. But your idea that the offensive line is terrible. They need help at cornerback. They need help at edge rusher. So they had plenty of needs. Quarterback, we just talked about, what if Mac Jones was there? I think they have to think about that. But here, Najee Harris is drawing comparisons to Le'Veon Bell. And we always make these comps during draft time. But if it's anything close to that, that will help. And you can come back in day two and day three, and you can find offensive line help. But you're not going to find a Najee Harris, and that's probably the thinking there. The Jaguars move is a little more, not concerning, but look, this is Urban Meyer's first year. You have a ton of picks. You have to use every single one wisely after, by the way, having a ton of free agency, ton of money in free agency that you didn't go out there and crush it on. This team has to win. I feel like 6 or 7 wins is doable next year if you hit on everything, and by the way, in a 17-game season. And then after that, you got to start going to the playoffs. So, we got Trevor Lawrence done and done. I think ATN feels like he was overdrafted by about 7 or 8 picks when they would have been back on the clock. And again, offensive line, defensive line, safety, cornerback, those are all just well, linebacker. So I thought slightly overdrafted, love the player, just question the pick.
What'd you think about the Panthers going with J.C. Horn? There was a lot of thought that they should go offensive line as well, help out Sam Darnold, help out Christian McCaffrey. Instead, they went with Horn. Your thoughts on that decision?
Yeah, no, I love J.C. Horn. In fact, I had him as the first defensive player off the board. And, you know, it happened right around the time that Patrick Surtain went off the board, the other cornerback, which we thought was going to happen with the team nearby. But the Panthers don't have any depth, none at cornerback. So that made some sense. And it feels like Sam Darnold's the guy now, so that's good for Sam Darnold to pick up his fifth-year option. But you're right. Sam Darnold came from an organization where he spent most of his time running for his life. So you have to sort that out in Carolina, which I think is a better situation for Darnold, but it's not substantially better. And that means surrounding him with players that can protect him on offense. I would imagine we'll see that happen soon, starting in a few hours, starting tonight.
Which player are you most excited about, optimistic about going into tonight?
Oh, so tonight. So what's going to happen tonight? So let's see. Let's look at my list here, make sure I don't miss anyone. So Boogie Basham is an edge rusher that I liked a lot out of Wake Forest. And I'll mention a name in terms of an offensive guy, Rondell Moore at Purdue. Only 5'7", but he ran a 49 at his pro day, 42-inch vertical, and it was absolutely electric when he was on the field. The issue, D.A., is that he only played 7 games the last 2 years. So if he's healthy, he's Tyreek Hill, a smaller version. If he's not, he's John Ross because he's on the bench. So, you know, we'll see which team covets his abilities and has faith in him being on the field.
Ryan Wilson covered the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Listen to him as part of the Pick 6 podcast as well. The guys over at CBS Sports are just crushing it on the NFL and specifically right now for the draft. So just get locked into all their content. They're really good at what they do. They got really good chemistry. They work really well as a team. So check it all out and follow Ryan on Twitter for his latest coverage of tonight's round 2. Ryan Wilson, CBS, is the handle there. It's always good to talk to you, bud. Thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, DA.
Be good. Ryan Wilson dropping on by the DA show, breaking down winners and losers of the NFL draft last night.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.